In truth, many more Americans were wounded in the war than 671,000. We now accept the term post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, as a diagnosable fear disorder in response to trauma. Many veterans from World War II and other wars before and after suffered neurological and psychiatric wounds in private long after the war. Horrific memories, flashbacks, nightmares, and hyperarousal are just some of the symptoms. Of course, veterans from more recent wars can also suffer PTSD and other afflictions. But now we as a nation publicly acknowledge that combat is a massive potential traumatic stressor, that trauma is a long-term cost of war, a complex layered mix of debilitating neurological and or psychiatric wounds, which can make life difficult or even impossible. I wrote in my first book on Fort Snelling National Cemetery of a sailor who was at Pearl Harbor when the Japanese attacked. He was on the USS Utah when it sank. He went into the water, the surface of which was on fire from the ignited oil slicks. Once ashore, he was ordered to assist on the USS California. He was also on that ship when it sank, in the same day. When the Japanese attack was over, he and many others spent days on burial detail. He later headed out in a supply ship bound for Guadalcanal. While he was ashore unloading supplies, a Japanese fleet drove off the American ships. He was trapped ashore. He then served as a coxswain on a Higgins boat, piloting that flat-bottomed boat up the creeks through the thick jungles of Guadalcanal, dropping off and picking up Marines, Carlson's Raiders. Harrowing work for even the bravest of men, never knowing when the Japanese might open up an ambush from the shoreline at point-blank range. One day, he was standing just inside a bunker when a direct hit killed all the occupants, his buddies, and blew him yards away. He didn't regain consciousness for days. He never returned to active duty, spent a considerable time in the hospital. He did recover and lived a full life surrounded by love. This heroic sailor felt badly that somehow, maybe, he didn't do enough because men died and were dying while he was stateside. Perhaps the doctors understood his trauma, but he did not. He had survivor's guilt. It's very common when you talk to combat veterans. There's additionally a more recent condition. It doesn't necessarily have nightmares and flashbacks. It's instead a state of mind, referred to as moral injury. Moral injury is a crisis of conscience when people participate in an experience that goes against their deeply held morals and beliefs. There's an extreme sense of guilt at having killed in the war. We as a nation send off good men and women to fight for our cause. What do we ask of them? Combat veterans, beyond experiencing destruction and carnage up close, beyond risking their own lives and losing the lives of their comrades, they kill for us, as ordered. Sometimes they're too worried, too numb to make sound judgments. This is what we ask of them, to endure and also to act, and then deal with the memories and their conscience. We're on the hook for that too. We all share the moral burdens of war. For many veterans, for many years, their silence was a consequence not simply of the horror of war, but also a result of the inability to find the right words, to properly convey the experience and the feelings that go with that, when it is something so dark that it is difficult to put into words. The enormity of the task is too much. War is a unique and very personal experience for each combatant. It's important that we honor our veterans. It is also important to remember for what we are thanking them. They gave so much more than many realize. Combat veterans insist the real heroes are the ones who died. Praise may remind veterans of their anguish, perhaps of their inner toil or their past suffering. They know they served, and they know they preserved our freedom. The standard comment is, "I did what I was told to do."